Ray and Tay today. Yes, Sports Radio's on. Talking sports with friends, and you know we got it on. From the NFL to the NBA, MLB and college hoops do it all day. College football, we know who's number one. Understand, on the phones, you know we get it done. So call in 718-664-9098 and we'll give you more. Talking sports.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. What some people call the best day in sports. Championship Monday, it's opening day, and you're listening to Ray and Tay today. And I'm Ray, Tom Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. And yes, it is a day. It's going to be a day, a night. Baseball, it is here. The warm weather is coming for everybody. And we've got a championship title on the line. Let's talk about it. Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, you can send your emails to rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Tweet at us at rayandtaytoday. Subscribe to our YouTube page, some cool videos. rayandtaytoday.com, the website, very interactive. Here's some great interviews with, Seth Davis, right, from CBS Sports. You'll see him tonight covering the championship. Like, he's been there all tournament, doing a great job in the Final Four on TBS the other night. He's been a part of our show. And even early last summer, he was talking about Wisconsin. Remember, he went to go visit Frank the Tank and the boys and told us that he thought that they would be, really something to deal with. Ray, we'll review it. We'll talk the NBA playoff race is heating up. MLB, we'll talk about that. But I got to ask you, did Wisconsin sort of surprise you or shock you in any way by outlasting Kentucky? Did they win the game, or did Kentucky sort of kind of fizzle and kind of lose the game? How do you see it?
You know what? Shame on me, because I didn't give Wisconsin enough credit. I thought Kentucky would pull away. I was watching the game, and I kept saying, okay, now Kentucky's going to pull away. And with about 5 minutes to go, Kentucky took the lead back, and I thought that was it. It's over. But, you know, to answer your second question, I always have a funny time answering that. You know, did one team lose? Did one team win?
Right.
Wisconsin won the game. They out-executed Kentucky. We talked about this off-air. Kentucky had two bad calls go against them, but you know what? So Wisconsin had one that they should have gotten with Lyles, should have been hit up with a tech. So, you know, yeah, those two calls may have made it closer, but ultimately Kentucky missed seven of its last eight shots, and they were outscored 15-4 in the last 3.5 minutes. So Wisconsin pulled a Kentucky and out-Kentuckied the Wildcats because they executed down the stretch. They had the poise, which is something that Kentucky did in every game that they were behind. Watch those games, and you said, you know what? They're going to win because they have that poise. And Kentucky had done to them what Kentucky had done to Georgia and Alabama, Arkansas, all these other teams that they played close games with. And Notre Dame. You could argue Kentucky barely made it through Notre Dame. So, to me, the better team that night won. Now, Kentucky's a better team maybe over a 38-game stretch, but the better team won. So, yes, Wisconsin won the game because in the last 4 minutes, they out-executed Kentucky.
I'll say this. Wisconsin had four of their starters in double figures. One issue was the Harrison twins in the last, 3 to 4 minutes, shot 1 for 6. And if you remember, besides the free throws from Carl Anthony Towns with 17 seconds left when the game was already over, his last bucket was at the 6:30 mark. So they didn't go inside to him enough. Frank the Tank was fronting him. They didn't get him the ball. I thought Trey Lyles might have played too much with the 29 minutes, and I would have, you know, somehow find a way to put Booker in more with the 19 minutes. And even with Booker's size, he's not huge, but he still could have, you know, possibly matched up with Decker or Hayes, you know, with Lyles being out. I thought Kentucky was sort of slow you know, with the big men, and that favored Wisconsin, and that's where they took advantage. And Jackson played big in his minutes, and I thought that he would have to, just like I think, you know, we talk about it in a bit in our preview, for Wisconsin to win a championship. You know, he's been doing about 12 minutes, Trayvon Jackson, and I think, you know, 6 points, that's solid. They might even need 10 points in 15 minutes tonight against Duke.
You know,
but
I don't
listen, I give Wisconsin all the credit.
I don't know if you saw this. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I don't know if you saw this, but they showed how, almost without exception, when Kentucky switched, and Kentucky is so athletic that they seem to switch everything, right? And most of their guys are pretty big, right, with the exception of
that's
the,
how
the
he
small,
teaches it. And I don't always
right,
agree
that's how
with
he teaches
that.
It. The only problem is when you've got a near 7-footer in Frank Kaminsky, a 6'8 guy in Hayes, and a 6'9 guy in Sam Decker, they took advantage of every switch and every matchup. So when you had 6'10 on 6'10, and then you switch and you got 6'4, 6'5, 6'6 on 6'10, a guy that's not used to guarding a mobile four or a stretch five, if you want to call Kaminsky that, Wisconsin took advantage of those switches every time. So I don't know if they did it in practice all week or if they're just naturally good at that, because most teams don't switch like Kentucky does, so they don't get to practice against that. But again, give Wisconsin credit. I didn't think Kentucky played that poorly. I thought Kentucky played okay. They would have beaten most teams, but Wisconsin just played better, and Wisconsin
played to
its strength.
But you know what Wisconsin does that they don't get credit for? Look at Kaminsky, 11 rebounds. Wisconsin rebounds the ball really well, and you know that was to their advantage in that sense, that you're getting, you know, 5, 4, 4, 3, and 11 from your starters. So, you know, they're strong on the glass, and I think Kentucky, though, it was interesting, right? The second half, they start Ulis instead of, I guess, Aaron. And maybe what they should have done is found a way to get Booker more involved. I think they needed his offense. I'm not surprised that you only got 5 minutes from Lee and 8 from Johnson. It's a hard game for them. Those are more traditional, bigger guys, you know what I mean? And so maybe, you know, it was less of a matchup for them. But, you know, what's so funny? Oddly enough, this is a game where they could have used Alex Poitras. He would have been perfect for them in
right,
this game.
Right, he's Sam
you know?
Decker. He's basically neutralizing Sam Decker. And
he
can
was
probably
the
get
piece,
on
right?
A.
Yeah. Ironically
he's
enough.
He's that 6'8". You know, athletic forward. But here's the thing. Kentucky had a few things that reared their ugly head. Number one, they've had trouble on offense all year. And
right.
We said it from the beginning, and it's to some degree to be expected, right? These
Not
guys
having
are freshmen
a pure scoring star. Yeah.
And because they didn't really have a go-to guy, they don't really have an identity. You know, what is this Kentucky team? I mean, towards the end of the season, Karl Anthony Towns was their guy. But when they get in trouble, who's their guy? Is it the Harrison twins? Is it Karl Anthony Towns? Is it Booker? So they didn't really have that, okay, this is our guy. This is who gets us out of the hole. And then, you know what? They kept playing close, and it's hard to win every close game. You know, you end up losing some of those games. So, look, great season, though. 38-1 is nothing to sneeze at.
No, I think the fans need to applaud them, Big Blue Nation, everybody. I think it's hard. Hopefully, it'll, you know, the pain will ease if Calipari makes the Hall of Fame. I don't know if they've announced it yet for him and Bo Ryan. That should be coming up very soon.
Well, they announced it today. It was him and Dikembe and
oh, okay. So it came across. Okay, so then
yeah.
he got in. Okay,
yeah.
Well, yeah. That's C to me, and that's so Calipari is a great coach. Bo Ryan is a great coach. I think it's hard when someone has to lose, but that's what the Final Four is about, right? You're not going to rip Izzo, and we'll talk about this game too, for getting this 7-seed Spartan team that, like, Kentucky, but even worse than Kentucky, can't really score because they got, you know, destroyed by Duke. This is the one of the biggest blowouts in Final Four history, 81-61. I think I said this before, and I truly believe it. The march to the Final Four and the championship is about stars emerging and draft stock rising. And two gentlemen will face off tonight in Justice Winslow and Sam Decker that have jumped their stock in the first round to where they both could be mid to late lottery to like right after the lottery, 17, 16, you know, somewhere in there. And I love it because to me, that's what it's about. These young guys developing. I think Denzel Valentine showed himself well, that he'll be drafted. And it's good. Listen, Valentine came to play. Dawson struggled. You know, Trice had some turnovers, but he was big in the beginning. Duke settled down. And like we've said, this is not your mom and pop's Duke team. They play some serious defense. And when we talk about the preview in a minute, that's what we'll have to focus on because this is a very different Duke team led by the three freshmen. And you got to start to love this fourth freshman, Grayson Allen, who's becoming that dunk, that lean-in dunk, Ray. I know you like that, how he followed up his shot, and then it was
like
what?
He put a little lean on it. He put a little Michael Jordan lean, that little dip your shoulder, and
Hey, the kid's got talent. But listen, Okafor is special. Winslow is so special because he really plays both sides of the ball and with such savvy. Winslow doesn't take bad shots. He shot 5 for 7, and I like that. Like, he's very efficient. And he gets timely shots, you know what I mean? So I applaud Duke, 81-61. I'm chomping at the bit for this final. What'd you think about Duke and just the way they dominated and pulled away in the second half?
Look, I picked Michigan State to get to this point and then lose to Duke. So there's a reason Michigan State was a number 7 seed. They underachieved. Their big three, you know, Trice, Dawson, and Valentine, have a hard time matching up with Duke's big three, right? Whoever they are, right? Duke probably has 4 or 5 guys, but let's call it, you know, Winslow, Okafor, and that backcourt is probably, you know, equal with Cook.
Jones and Cook,
and Tyus Jones. But give Duke credit. They went out there. They don't deceive you. You know, this is what they're going to do, and they just go do it. So, you know what's interesting about Duke, though, is I didn't realize that these three kids played on Team USA. They did a feature on ESPN about that, how Okafor, Winslow, and Jones all played under Mike Krzyzewski in Team USA. So you could argue he has a little bit of a built-in advantage there on that, you know, national, whatever, under 17 or under 18 squad.
The 19 and under, yeah.
Yeah, those three have known each other for years. I knew that, but I didn't know that they played together.
And they decided
basically
to go to Duke together, which was, you know.
Yep.
We're waiting to see, you know, who would, you know. That's – I think I have no issue with that, right? Like the Fab Five, like the Flintstones. And I saw the special on the Flintstones last night, too. I thought that was wonderful back when they won with Team Cleves and the boys.
Yeah,
and you almost forget.
Every right to choose whatever college, whatever coach, and whatever teammates they want. Why not?
Well, listen, it's the only time that they really have control, the high school senior getting recruited for college football and college, you know, all the colleges, because they get drafted in the NFL and NBA, and they're under contract for, 5 to 6 years of your life. So, you know, and sometimes with these extensions, you'd financially hurt yourself to leave the team. So, you know, look, definitely nothing wrong with it. Let's move forward, because I think the ratings will not be as high if we're being fair and honest. The whole world wanted to see Duke and Kentucky, the two blue bloods, you know, and you get Wisconsin and you get Duke. And either way, it doesn't matter because you're getting a classic game. To me, this is one of those matchups where you feel like you don't care if less people are watching. You're just glad you're watching because, look, two players of the year, right? First and second probably in the voting, Frank the Tank and Jahlil Okafor. And then you're really dealing with the guards of Wisconsin, who could be underrated, having to probably play the games of their lives, which is why I think Jackson is going to have to be a factor to contribute to that. And then Decker Winslow. This is going to be fascinating. And I think Duke might actually have a little bit of a better bench with Jefferson and Plumlee. But I'm not too sure that their starters, to me, one issue is, can Matt Jones. Matt Jones, depending on how he plays, you know, how will he match up with Hayes? Because they're probably going to put Winslow on Decker. And I don't know. That means to me, I think Plumlee is going to have to play more in this game, as well as Jefferson. You hope Okafor doesn't get in foul trouble. And when you look at the switchers, because Frank the Tank takes you outside, you have to almost bring some, you know, more size because they rebound so well. Wisconsin, to be honest with you, Ray, they're such a hard matchup. Do you know what I mean? Because their size can rebound, but it can also dribble and shoot. So, I you know what, this is one of those toss-up games, but at the end of the day, I'm going to have to go with Duke.
Ooh, you told me all the reasons why Wisconsin's a tough matchup, and then you dropped the Duke bomb.
I even have a bracket that I did with my little boy, and I got Wisconsin winning 77-74, but there's something in my head that's telling me that these three freshmen, and I love Wisconsin's experience, and to be honest, I'm going to root for Wisconsin because, you know, that's the thing. We're Tar Heel fans, but this is a Duke team that's hard to hate. If you're being real, these kids are great. You know, you feel Coach K, everything that's going on. And so I'm going to take Duke with three special performances from Jones, Tyus Jones, Okafor, and Winslow. And I will take Duke winning the national championship for Coach K, 78-74.
Wow.
I got to do it.
So I'm going to say this will be a great game. I really feel as if the stories are so compelling, right? The kids from Wisconsin got here last year. Bo Ryan's never won a national championship. He built a program based on zero, count them, zero McDonald's All-Americans. And he's got a rough, tough, skilled team. And Kenny Smith said something very good last night or two nights ago. He said, you know, comparing Kentucky and Wisconsin, but you could argue Duke falls in that category too now with a lot of one-and-dones, is that you can build a program many ways. And Bo Ryan builds it from recruiting good, solid basketball players, and they get better, and they stay. And Kentucky gets the best thoroughbreds coming out of high school, and Calipari gets them to play D and gets them to buy in and gets them to be unselfish. So Mike Krzyzewski's somewhere in the middle where he gets a lot of McDonald's All-Americans, a lot of studs. Not all of them are one and done, but nowadays many of them are. I wouldn't be surprised if all three of these kids or two out of three leave. And I think that this is a very interesting final or championship game for the coaches, right? If Mike Krzyzewski wins, that's his fifth.
Yeah,
that's
five.
I mean, that's like, wow, Bobby Knight has three.
He's
Mike
the Wooden of this era.
Will have five,
he's
right?
He would be the Wooden of this era.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty unbelievable. And what he did with the Olympics. And then Bo Ryan would be like, okay, so Bo Ryan finally gets his, just like Izzo has one. Ryan would have one.
He had a championship before, though, in Division II.
Right, but it's not the same.
No, I know.
So here's the thing. I believe that Wisconsin is able to face adversity and is able to play from ahead and play from behind better than almost anybody in the tournament because Frank Kaminsky, the National Player of the Year, and he and Jahlil Okafor, it's a coin toss, right? But he's a senior. Sam Decker's a junior. Trayvon Jackson's a senior. And the list goes on, right? So their key contributors are all people that have been there before in the Big Ten, in the Big Ten championships, going to the Final Four last year, right? Nobody on Duke was at the Final Four last year. So I think it's going to be a really close game. I just think that just like Wisconsin was able to execute down the stretch, just like they were able to pull away from Arizona, they were able to pull away from Kentucky, I think they're going to do the same thing to Duke. And I think Wisconsin wins the game. Fairly high scoring, because I think that both teams are able to put it, it'll be a little bit more high scoring than last game, which was in the 60s. I think this game will be 81-76, Wisconsin with the W for the Big Ten.
Wow, okay. I like it, I like it. I mean, you know, we're going against each other, but at the same time, we both see a lot of points. I definitely think it's a coin toss. And listen, I wouldn't put anything past Frank the Tank. You know, I think he's special. There's certain players, you know, that come along and have such versatility where sometimes that can hurt you. But with him, it's nothing but an asset. And remember, this NBA is a different game now. So it's, you know, more open. There's not about the physical play, the hand checking, you know, it's changed. So the Sam Deckers and the Frank Kaminskys, the game is very open and friendly for them. So I think that they will actually both have a lot of success on the next level next year in the NBA. I really do. We got to talk about some of these coaching moves. We got three of them. Now, there's been some controversy and talk, always at the Final Four. You've got the meetings of the which used to be by John Thompson and Nolan Richardson for the black college coaches, because out of the 25 jobs, I think they said 12 African-American coaches were fired, and Shaka Smart gets the Texas job. He gets a lot less money than he probably should have, 17 for six. And then Avery Johnson takes the Alabama job, which I think is good, but it says a lot about Avery not feeling the security or the opportunities in the NBA. But I think that it also says that Bama might be kind of serious about their program. What do you think about those two? And then Barnes goes to Tennessee and Chris Mullin to St. John's.
You know what? I was surprised a bit about all of these, right? I thought Avery Johnson was going back to the pros. I'd hire Avery Johnson as my coach.
Oh, I'd hire Avery in a minute.
Like, dude is...
He's a good coach.
Is a good coach. He's vocal. He's verbal. He's got that, like, southern charm, hospitality. You know what I mean? He's got that little southern twang. Like, what y'all doing? I'm a coach, Avery Johnson. But he'll get in your face. Think about that.
He was a great point guard, though, right?
You're the point guard, and Hall of Famers have to listen to you. You know what I mean? David Robinson and Tim Duncan and a pretty good Sean Elliott have to listen to you. So you can command some respect. And I thought that he got a raw deal in Dallas, and I don't know why. You know, the Nets thing didn't work out. I don't know what happened, but I thought Avery would be back in the NBA.
I blame the players on that one. The players didn't play for him, you know.
Maybe, and the players didn't really play for Jason Kidd, and the players didn't really play, you know, for your boy, the current coach.
Lionel Hollins.
What's that?
Lionel Hollins, exactly. And see, that's what I respect about Lionel, because he told Darren Williams and Brooke Lopez, hey, guess what? Ride some bench. When you want to start to play, then you can start. And guess what? They're starting to play. And now what? He's rebounding. Brooke Lopez has been like almost, you know, he could have been second behind LeBron James for player of the month. He's been playing amazing. So
right.
I think it's, you know, LeBron and Westbrook won respectively. But I just think that sometimes the coaches – give too much leeway to the players, and the players, you know, they run amok and they don't do what they're supposed to do. And I respect Lionel Hollins. He should have never lost the Memphis job, as far as I'm concerned, you know.
True.
So I don't know. Back to the coaches, though.
You're right. Shaka Smart got shortchanged on the money. So it sounded like Gary Marshall was offered more money. And, you know, we can talk about that, but I thought Shaka Smart was only going to leave for a great situation. And I'm not sure Texas basketball is a great situation. They're a football school just like Alabama's a football school. So you could argue is Avery
Johnson.
But
maybe that means have a longer leash, right?
Well,
maybe
they will.
Have some,
they have deep pockets, and Rick Barnes is there for 17 years. So
there
maybe Shaka Smart is saying, look, Austin, Texas is a great place, and they're really telling me that they're going to let me ride this out for 6 years, and that's worth something too.
And if he does turn it around there, Ray, if he does, he gets to a Final Four and turns things around there or wins a chip, he'll be the king of Texas. They'll love him, even at a football school. They will start to love Texas basketball. And I think he's a great recruiter and he's a great coach. He did a lot with lesser talent at VCU. And with Texas, I think he'll be able to keep some of those kids that are going to Oklahoma and Oak State and Texas A&M now, you know?
Right. So I wish him well. I hope he does well. And it'd be nice to see a young up-and-comer at a football school really putting his stamp in. It'll be interesting to see how Avery does in Alabama, right, because is he going to be the Nick Saban of the football program? Can he recruit? Can he do his magic from high school, you know, from with the high school kids? Same thing with Chris Mullen. You know, we didn't talk about it last show, but Chris Mullen going to St. John's, he said, I know every gym in the city. So his number one goal is to keep all the kids, the local kids, from leaving New York. And Chris Mullen, another guy who's an NBA guy, was an NBA GM and now is a college coach. So that was real interesting. And then, of course, Rick
Barnes. That's fascinating to me. That's really
fascinating. I said on the show, I just didn't understand why
you were right.
To do that.
I remember you said you didn't think that he would even want to take the job. One thing about it, though, I don't know if the young kids know about St. John's or relate to Mullen in that sense because he's been sort of out of the picture. Avery was just coaching, right, 2 years ago, and the Brooklyn Nets were on, you know, NBA TV, so kids were seeing that, high school sophomores, juniors, freshmen. Mullen has been kind of like out of the loop, but I think through YouTube and stuff like that and him being a Hall of Famer, his respect alone, like people – you know, I mean, people will say, their parents of these kids will say, listen, that's Chris Mullen. He's on the first dream team that you play on NBA 2K when you play with the dream team. That's Chris Mullen. So eventually.
I'll make a statement that Chris Mullen will never recruit. I mean, not that he won't try, but he will never have a player that can shoot better than he can, even in his 50s, because he's taking that job in his 50s already, right? He'll be, let's say he's in that job for 10 years, and I wonder if Carnesecca, you know, basically called him up, Louis, called him up and said, Chris, you got to take this job, even if it's for 3 years, just get the program back.
He's got to wear the sweater. I want to see
him
with the sweater.
But he'll never have a player that can outshoot him in a shooting drill, even in his 50s.
Oh, Ray, I love it. That right there sums it up. I think we can put college to bed and go to the NBA because, you know, right now it is wild. I cannot remember a time where there were literally four different guys that could really get and deserve the MVP. And then it's fascinating with the 7th and 8th spot really in the East. Each night, someone else is rotating in those standings. Brooklyn seems to have 7 locked. 8 could be Boston, the Pacers. Now the Heat have got injuries, and Paul George comes back. Got a clap.
Paul George!
He looked pretty good. What, 13 points in 15 minutes or 15 points in 13 minutes? Happy for him. I don't know if they'll make the playoffs, but it's just good for the confidence. And this is what Larry Bird said. He wanted him to have that confidence. So going into the offseason and next year, you know, they're back to just being, and he's back to being an all-star, not like, oh, am I okay? I want to ask you this. With the Cavs' big win over the Bulls, where do you think we're at now with, you know, Rose should be back this week. Where do you think we're at with who's really the king of the hill? Atlanta's in first, Cavs second, Bulls third, Raptors fourth. Should the Bulls try to lose out to not have to play Cleveland? Or do you just not worry about your seeding and you got to beat who you play? I mean, what do you think about the Bulls with Rose and that whole situation?
Well, I would rather, if I'm a Bulls fan, face Cleveland in the finals, in the conference finals. So, in other words, drop down to four, let Toronto scoot up to three. But at the same time, you need confidence. You know what I mean? This team has been up and down. They don't know how healthy Derrick Rose is going to be. They don't know if Jimmy Butler is going to be what he was in the second half, you know, what he was in the first half of the season. And this team, to me, needs to get confident, needs to get all the wins they can. And if they hit Cleveland in the second round, they hit them in the second round. And if they get them in the third round, they get them in the third round. So to me, you just got to win games. Because, like you said, that Eastern Conference, with all due respect to Atlanta, that Eastern Conference goes through Cleveland and LeBron James. So you're going to get them at some point.
Shoot. If JR is going to play and shoot, it's going through LeBron.
Right. So you're going to get them at some point. So you might as well not play, you know, footsie and try to time when you get Cleveland. Just win your games, get your game right, and you're going to have to beat them in a tough seven-game series if you're Chicago.
Couple of things that I want to just have fun with and talk to you about, because I find it really, really fascinating. When you think about this golden age and era of point guards, and we saw all the hype with Steph Curry embarrassing Chris Paul, and he fell, and yada, yada. And you know when we played in the streets at the GOAT in the playground and, you know, everywhere, if you get caught up and you fall and get embarrassed, like, yo, cats would just, you know, scream on you. But what I loved about Chris Paul, and I don't know if you noticed this, the next night, how he answered all the trolls and fools on Twitter and, you know, just the oversaturation of just the hype and the negative talk. On Damian Lillard, who we both love at point, he dropped 41-17 just to let folks know, I'm still CP3 and I'm getting busy on anybody. Do you know what I mean? Like, I kind of love that swag about him. And I think the Clippers could be primed for people sleeping on them and them actually having a good run this year, maybe from the 5 seed. I think they could beat Portland in that 4-5 matchup. What did you think about the Spurs putting the smackdown, which we spoke about with Hank, on the Warriors? Did they make a statement, or is it not that big of a deal?
I don't think it's that big of a deal, because the Warriors have kind of mailed it in, and the Spurs are the Spurs. You know what I mean? The Spurs, your question is, in the second half of a long series, are they going to hit the wall? Even in the series that they've lost, if you think back the last 5, 6, 7 years, they were really only blown out in that Memphis series. They just looked slow and old. But where they would lose was it 3 years ago in that Oklahoma City, when Oklahoma City beat them and then ended up losing to LeBron and the Heat in their first championship, so that was 2010, where they went out and looked good first two games of the series and then hit the wall. So San Antonio can beat anybody on any given night. Not only that, but since they, about 5 years ago, turned to be an offensive team as opposed to, you know, the 10 years previously when they were a defensive-minded team, they can beat you. They can embarrass you. You know, San Antonio can beat you, especially in the AT&T Center. They can beat you like 120-90 with no, you know, no problem. If you're the number one seed, if you're the number 8 seed, it doesn't matter.
Their passing and their court spacing with Diao, say what you want about Splitter, good passer and can score. You've got Green, Leonard, Patty Mills is starting to come off the bench and play well. Parker's starting to get healthy. I'm telling you right now, if you had to just make a blind pick today, it'd be hard to say it's not Spurs and Cavs in the NBA Finals. I don't know what else I could say or predict or pick. I just, the Warriors have got to show me on the court in the series. I'm not impressed by the regular season. I'm just not, because we've seen it before where teams have these flashy, you know, records and this and that or all this stuff. But the playoffs, the game changes. It is more physical. The refs hold their whistle a little bit longer. Teams get away with a little bit more shoving on the box outs and a little holding. You know, so it favors Memphis. It might favor DeAndre Jordan and Blake if they want to get a little nasty. It's going to be fascinating. But I'll tell you this. The team that I blasted in the beginning of the season that I didn't think would do anything with the addition of Corey Brewer and Josh Smith and all the different guys and Howard truly accepting the second-tier role and Harden really being a legit MVP, dropped 41 on Westbrook yesterday, got busy. I love LeBron, right, getting his first triple-double. And what does Westbrook have for the season, like 12 or 13?
Yeah, he's got double 10, digits.
Like, yeah, 10 for the month or 9 or 10 since the All-Star break. So, I mean, this, you know, you put things in perspective, but honestly, the Houston Rockets, Ray, they are impressive. I don't trust Dwight Howard in the playoffs, but they have a home-and-home coming up with the Spurs before the season ends. And I'd like to see those two teams, how they really match up going into the playoffs, might give us a little insight. I don't know what you think.
You know what's interesting? You know what's interesting? We always know that it's all about matchups. But if you look at the West, seeds 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 are basically interchangeable. There's two games. We're 77 or 78 games in, depending on what team you are. But most of these teams have played 77 games. And after 77 games, two games separate the Rockets, the Grizzlies, the Blazers, the Clippers, and the Spurs. So the middle of that Western Conference.
You said the Spurs still get the 2 seed, right? They beat the Rockets in that home and home. They can move up and get the 2 seed.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be interesting that what holds the Spurs back from the 2 seed is that awful egg that they laid when they played the Knicks.
you mean the Knicks with 15 victories?
Those Knicks with 60 losses.
Listen, I tell everybody, we're getting Okafor or Town. So cheer up. It's going to get better. Phil's got a plan. I'm trusting him. It's going to get better, baby. I'm not that upset. It's going to get better.
So let me ask you. So, all right, so we talked about the middle. It's too hard to predict 2 through 5. Let me ask you, let me tell you, standings-wise, in the West, Oklahoma City is up a half a game. They've got one more win than the Pelicans in the West. And then in the East, between the Nets, you think will have 7, but let's say 8 between Boston, the Pacers, and the Heat. And even Charlotte,
they're going to shut down Jefferson, it looks like.
Because in the loss column, they have 43, though. So Boston has 42 losses, and Indianapolis, Miami, and Charlotte each have 43. So who do you think out of those teams, who's going to be the 8th seed in the East and who's going to be the 8th seed in the West?
If Dwayne Wade is hurt, I don't think Miami can do it. And right now, with Paul George coming back, the Pacers have confidence and a lot of swagger. Boston's playing over their heads, but I love the way Marcus Smart and Isaiah Thomas have been grabbing wins. And just, it shows that Brad Stevens is one heck of a coach, which we already knew. Let's just say that. So I might have to go Pacers with that. I think Brooklyn in the 7th spot is going to be a tough matchup with Cleveland. They might win a game or two against Cleveland. In the West, you know, the Pelicans own the tiebreaker. So that's going to be fascinating. You know what? We've said it all year that OKC will make it, but I'm not so sure. It just depends. I don't have the schedules up in front of me, but it's going to be fascinating because it's going to come down to scheduling. Now, the Pelicans should have won that game last night at Portland. They could not beat the Blazers. The Blazers don't have as much to play for, so they should have won that. So we'll see how it all plays out. But I guess I'll put my hat in with the Pacers, and I'll say OKC just because I trust Westbrook the most.
OKC, here, I pull up the OKC schedule. They're playing San Antonio, Sacramento, Indiana. What an interesting matchup. Two teams fighting for the 8th seed.
Wow.
So they have home against San Antonio, home against Sacramento, at Indiana, home against Portland, at Minnesota. So
that's five games.
Barely,
three and two.
Yeah, not too difficult. I mean, they have two difficult games, three easy games probably in there. So that's interesting. Now we got to pull up. My man, the number two player in the NBA, Anthony Davis.
You know what? Let me tell you, if he could have stayed healthy this season, there really could have been a serious playoff run from those guys. You know, that's the one thing we miss out on.
Yeah, true. And all right, so here's their schedule. So they've got one extra game. They've got home against Golden State, who may or may not be, you know, mailing it in last few games because they've got the number one seed locked up. They're at Memphis, home to Phoenix, at Houston, at Minnesota, and then home to San Antonio.
They could be, is that 3-3 maybe? It's gonna come down to the last game of the season. But remember, if they're tied, right? So right now, New Orleans has got six games and OKC five. So let's say, because they're one loss behind, right? I mean, one win behind. So basically, if they win one of those and then they both finish 3-2, the Pelicans get in. So the Pelicans have a good shot, Ray. They really do.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. And the thing is, Oklahoma City has come down to one guy. I mean, if Russell Westbrook has a bad night, Oklahoma City loses.
Give Cantor a lot of credit. Hey, you know who's been balling? Reggie Jackson on the Pistons. Wow, this guy's like, I told you I deserve more minutes. And
he
I'm
wants
a
contract.
Yo, he's earning a contract. I'll tell you that. He's doing an Eric Bledsoe right now. He's balling out. Give him credit, man. You know, so listen, as we wrap up the show, we still got a little bit left, but I'll tell you this. Is there any way that we're disrespecting LeBron James and not even, let's say that he probably will come in fourth in the voting. And if I'm being honest, Steph Curry, to me, you look at the stats, he's sixth in scoring. He's up there in steals in the top five, up there in assists, I think, in the top five. But he's got more help. And Chris Broussard, I give him credit, he made a point today on His and Hers that's true. If you would have had Howard for the whole season, people would still be impressed with the Rockets being the number two seed with the whole team, right? We didn't even think they'd do that. So for them to do that with him missing 40 games, Ray? I mean, come on. James Harden, without a doubt, is the MVP. I mean,
I think so, too. But your original point is, I don't believe we've ever had a four-time MVP be underrated this year, underrated as LeBron is this year, right? What LeBron is doing, people take for granted. It's with a new coach, not in a new city because obviously he's been there, right? But it's with new teammates, a new coach, who, by the way, has never coached in the NBA before, playing with a star.
Two guys who never made the playoffs.
Right, and playing with a star in Kyrie Irving, a little disgruntled star in Kevin Love. But this is not easy. And LeBron, yeah, he did take that week off, 10 days off to charge his batteries, but LeBron, in any other year, would run away with the MVP, right? This is not an easy situation for him. Everybody's feeling each other out. But you're right. I personally vote for James Harden. But, yes, LeBron is not getting nearly enough credit as he should. I think he'll be a distant fourth in MVP. And like we said, LeBron could be the MVP every year because he is he is the best player in the NBA. And so the question is, year in and year out, is he the most valuable as well?
Yeah, and I think the reason why the other guys are so up there, and then, you know, fifth place would probably be like an Anthony Davis or even what Chris Paul has done with Blake Griffin being out a lot. The fascination to me is that he has played the 3, the 4, and the 1. LeBron James plays 3 positions for the Cavs at different times of the game. He's been assistant GM and coach. And like I told you, his defense, the way he's helped out defensively with the team on rotations and, you know, getting some blocks, you know, we would need our own personal analytic guy. But that's why in the beginning of the year, I told you, he's going to get and should be considered defensive player of the year. You know, you always throw in Tony Allen and stuff like that, DeAndre Jordan as well. But LeBron, it's like, remember Jordan. Jordan didn't always get that credit, but Jordan locked down every 2 guard he faced. He didn't just score 30 a game. Jordan would you know, put the guy he played on ice, him and Pippen. So I just think it's, you know, it's nouveau, right? Everybody's like, oh, you know, we're tired of LeBron. Like, you know, yeah, he went home to Cleveland. You know, it's sort of like, you know, people get bored of somebody winning all the time. Well, you know what? You got to respect greatness. You call that greatness. You know, I love that commercial and that song, and it's true. So I guess that he will come in fourth just because people want something new and want to kind of spread the wealth. But, Ray, you said it. He could be MVP every season. He really could. So let's.
Well, it's time to talk baseball. Last 10 minutes of the show. It's the real opening day. I don't really like that game last night, right? What is that one game on Sunday night? Opening day is opening day.
Yeah. I know ESPN is just a way to kind of have their own little thing. And I think it's better when it just starts out opening day. What did you think about – so, obviously, the Cardinals took care of the Cubs, 3-0. Look, the Cubs are not – we both don't have them in the playoffs. A lot of people are going crazy for them. We're not quite there yet, even though we think they're going to be better. I told you about Jason Hayward, though. I told you the Cardinals, they will turn Kool-Aid into wine. They will turn Sprite into champagne. That's what the Cardinals do, baby. And let me tell you, Jason Hayward and the Cardinals, they're going to be so good, Ray. I love it. Adam Wainwright's back. The Cardinals, it's great. But what do you think about 2 things? We'll talk about the Yankees, right? They already played a bunch of games on now. But the Padres, real quick, right? They're up on the Dodgers right now, 3-2. But what do you think about the deal, getting the reliever, the best reliever in baseball, debatable, right, arguable, Craig Kimbrell, from the Braves, and Melvin Upton, who was the brother of Jason, BJ. What'd you think?
I thought it sent a pretty strong signal that the Padres are going for it, and the Braves are blowing it up.
Tanking it.
So, good for the Padres. You know what? I hope that they go out and make the playoffs and bring baseball back, because, you know, they were good in 84, they were good in 99, and they went to 98, and they went to 2 World Series. But other than that, ball on the Mexican border has not been so good. So I'm glad that they did. They brought some heavy hitters in. They brought some pitching in. They brought Kimbrel, like you said, the best closer in the game last 4 years, most saves. Love it. Now,
they said
in terms of Atlanta,
per 9 innings that he would have 16 strikeouts.
Yeah,
that's impressive.
Craig Kimbrel's the man.
And
so good for the Padres. And if you're a Braves fan, you wake up today thinking to yourself, these 2 prospects, because they got Carlos Quinton and one more veteran, plus 2 prospects, you're thinking to yourself, these 2 prospects better be good.
Aren't they opening up a new stadium down there?
They are. But you know what? I understand where they are. It's hard to be in a semi-transition mode. Like the Phillies, why do they need Jonathan Papelbon, right? Why do you need to pay top dollar to a reliever if you're not in contention for a championship? So they must think, the Atlanta Braves, that they missed this window and they got to retool for 2-3 years from now and go do it, because they're figuring – the Nationals are going to take that first playoff spot in the AL. They're going to win the NL East. So we can't compete for a wild card. That's basically what they're telling their fans, which,
yeah.
Good point.
No, and I
don't know
it.
That you want to say that when you're opening up a new stadium.
I got to ask you this. So, hey, the Mets are up 3-1 on the Nationals. That looks great. I want to ask you, just for the fans who are listening that didn't hear our preview show, go check it out at RainsHateToday.com from last Wednesday. But I have the Dodgers winning the World Series over the Red Sox. Ray has the Nationals over the Tigers in the World Series winning. And I just want to ask Ray, with the Verlander and the injury, and do you want to recant that pick of the Tigers, or are you going to stick with it?
The rational side of me says, yes, I want to recant. But you know what? I'm a man of my word. I made my prediction.
Right.
So I got to stick with it.
You got to stick with it. Yeah, I told you. I remember, you got to get off there. Year two, I'm getting off a year early because they're too old.
You might be right. You might be right. But who, you know who isn't too old is the Nationals. I mean, they're right about to peak, and I think they might be the you know what they're going to be? I don't know how many they'll win, but they'll be the 88, 89, 90 Oakland A's. You know, that team that is just by far better than any team in baseball. Even when the Yankees won, there was only that one year when they won 114 games where you didn't really say by far they're the best team. I mean, in retrospect, you did. But going into the season, I mean, they are head and shoulders above everybody, including the Dodgers and including the other teams. This national team really should win a couple World Series.
You know, you would think so. And you hope for them. If they do lose, it's not because of injuries. Like, you know, you just – look, it's a marathon, 162 games, but you really want these guys to stay healthy and really let them have a good run at it, because I think it's good for baseball, right? You know, D.C., that area, you know, having both teams in the playoffs last year, they were jumping and going crazy. Of course, they got blown out real fast. So it's probably pretty depressing for everybody in the D.C., Baltimore, you know, metro area. But I think it's good for baseball, you know, when you've got some sort of balance, you know. And you kind of want to see New York, Philly, and Boston get back, and Chicago. So it's going to be fun. What I like, though, is I like to see kind of – I always like when stars emerge, or when guys who have had sort of a rough go of it get it together. Like, that's why I like the Reds. I could have easily picked the Pirates to come in second and get the wild card. But I think with the Reds, with Votto and Cueto and Bruce, if these guys can stay healthy, there's no reason, you know, and Phillips, there's no reason that they can't have a great run at it.
There's a lot of ifs there.
No, definitely. You know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it's so difficult in baseball with these injuries. And just, you know, it's such a marathon. You hope to see teams lose because they got beat, not because of health, you know. So what do you think about the Mets? It's opening day in New York. The Yankees, they lost. What do you think about Tanaka?
The Yankees lost 6-1. Tanaka got hit. Encarnacion.
Yeah.
It's funny because Tanaka used to have terrible starts to games. So his first and second inning ERA was through the roof, like 6. And then he'd settle in. He had a good first two innings, looked actually really good, and then gave up the home run and left in the fourth inning. The Mets, I still don't know about the Mets. I still don't know if they can stay. I mean, they're up 3-1 over the Nationals right now, so that's looking good.
That's
but good. I don't know long, you know, over the long 162-game season how they're going to do, but, you know, kudos to them right now. You know, again, I come back to your boy Bartolo Colon. What is he doing? I want to do what Bartolo Colon does, because this guy is pitching on opening day. Nah, maybe he's got a good diet, you know. Maybe he goes to Whole Foods and gets that organic, you know, quinoa and some kale.
Listen, kale all day.
Smoothies. I don't know what he does, but I need to do what Bartolo Colon does, because
you know what's so
this
funny?
Guy is still
one
delivering.
One thing that we don't talk about is that there's some guys – like the old days, right, when you didn't monitor pitch counts or whatever, like they just were born with great DNA and genetics. They're just bulls. I mean, Curt Schilling to me was just a horse. He was just a pitcher. You know, some of the pitchers in the 70s and 80s that we grew up watching, they were just horses. And maybe Bartolo is just one of those guys, man, that he just, nah, man, that's it, papi. I wake up and I pitch. That's it. I'm good. You know?
Maybe yeah, and Lucas Duda has two home runs in this game. Travis d'Arnaud, the light-hitting catcher. So if they can get production, because you know Kadire is going to hit. You know Murphy's going to hit. You know David Wright's going to hit. Curtis Granderson can hit right-handed pitchers. But if d'Arnaud and Duda can hit, which they did in this game, in this game so far, they'll be scared.
I noticed you didn't mention A-Rod got a hit.
A-Rod was 1-for-2, had a walk. You know, and he was cheered in Yankee Stadium much more than I thought he would be. I thought he'd be booed, but they were saying they thought it was 70%. Now, obviously, this is just the announcers, and maybe they're hoping that it's that way. But they said they thought it was about 70% cheers and 30% boos.
You know what? I think it's time to move on. I mean, and I heard Francesa interview the owner, Hal Steinbrenner, and he was like, you know what? I don't live in the past, you know? Now, they're going to fight him for that bonus money for the 600 home runs, and they should. They probably won't get it because it's in the contract. That's the one thing you should learn, ladies and gentlemen. A contract in baseball means blood. It's everything. A contract in the NFL, it's not blood, it's mud. It's mud. It don't mean a thing. And, you know, that's sort of where we're at with that. But I think it's time to move on. You know, we got to, you know. Now, what'd you think about your guy from the Twins, though, getting suspended? He said he took something in Dominican Republic and didn't know what it was, or Santana?
Yeah, I don't even know what to think. These guys, after so many years of this. After so many years of this policy being in effect, and I think all of these sports have a hotline or a tip line or something
like
that.
Yeah, they should have a 1-800 number. Before you take anything,
they do.
You can call.
No, I think they do. They have a doctor or you know, a consultant will be like, look, you know, is this legit? You know, can I do this? So again, this notion of I didn't know, I don't know, man. You're putting that stuff in your body. You know people are going to randomly drug test you. So what's going on?
I'll tell you this. The Diamondbacks, they announced they put down Yasmani Tomas. He's in the minors, sort of like Chris Bryant. It saves them, I think, $8 million or something. So, you know, teams that are not really ready, they're going to hold off and keep their young potential studs in the minors and bring them up slowly and develop. And I think for a couple of cities in baseball, it's going to be a long summer. So if you're in Arizona right now or Atlanta or, you know, Minnesota, you know, it's just going to be one of those seasons where you're just like, maybe I go see one game this season just for the kids to go. But otherwise, you know, you're like, you're not excited to call your friends in that city and say, hey, fellas, let's go see a game, you know? I mean, it's very hard. And the most expensive tickets are in Boston for a family of four, and the cheapest ticket is in Arizona for a family of four. So just had to throw that out there. Go to the game. I'm going to go see the Diamondbacks, probably go see the Rockies.
That's tape for the children right there. That's tape for the children, you know, family friendly.
Yeah, man. Taking Elijah and William, go see the Rockies, you know, and Diamondbacks. We went last year. We'll go again this year. So, great show. Tonight, Ray, it's about stars. Okafor, Tyus Jones, Sam Decker, Justice Winslow, and Frank Comiskey. Everybody enjoy. Have a great sports week. And we'll see you on Friday. Enjoy the championship.
We are out, Wisconsin.
Well, real quick, you got the ladies, UConn, Notre Dame. Who are you taking? My Terps didn't win. I got to go with UConn. Notre Dame's good.
Oh,
UConn,
I got to go with UConn. Notre Dame, you know what? Notre Dame will be through four Final Fours, and they're going to go 0-4. They're going to be the Minnesota Vikings, the Buffalo Bills. This UConn team is too tough.
They are. UConn will win again. We're out. Peace. Talking sports with friends.
See ya.